Hey y'all, I hope you're well. Welcome to another episode of Healthcare Boulevard. This is a podcast where we shine more light on healthcare, and our goal here is to provide more options to people looking to choose healthcare as their career path, regardless of their background. My name is Sena Kapomo, and I am your host and creator here. I thank you for tuning in. I appreciate your support. Remember, you can tune in on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Without further ado, let's get into today's episode. I am here for another interview, and I am excited to introduce my guest today. We are still in the pharmacy realm, and so she is a soon-to-be pharmacist, and I am going to learn as much about her as you guys are, because unlike most of the guests I've had here, I haven't gotten the chance to know her before this, really. So I'm very excited. The brief conversation we've had before I turned this recording on, I was excited already. So let's get this going. Chidinma, please introduce yourself. Tell the listeners whatever you want to them to learn about you as an introduction, and then we'll get it started.
Sure. It is a pleasure being here. I was just telling her, this is so dope. Full circle moment here, of course, being a listener of podcasts. And then being on one. So this is really, really dope. My name is Chidinma Agbena. I'm a fourth year doctor of pharmacy candidate at Florida A&M University, currently on rotations in South Florida, which is where I'm from. I have an interest in ambulatory care and geriatric pharmacy. And so currently on my community rotation at Walgreens, which isn't too bad. I worked in retail before. I also worked in the hospital realm. So it's a great way to kind of just bring back all those things I've learned and that patient interaction that I really love, which is one of the reasons why I love pharmacy.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. What's your journey to where you are educationally and professionally speaking?
Right. Oh my gosh. It hasn't been as cool, I'm pretty sure, as anyone else.
No, okay. It's your journey, and it's different, but it's unique, and that's what I love about it.
Right. So I only have a high school diploma to my name. Mm-hmm. Crazy. So FAMU is a six-year program. You're coming straight from high school. You do 2 years of undergrad, which is like 4 years of grad kind of squeezed in. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of just like float into the professional program. So that's your 4 years of grad, aka pharmacy school. Mm-hmm. And you'll be coming out with a PharmD. At no point are you conferring any degree. It's a one-stop shop. So if you stop midway, you come out with nothing. Mm-hmm. I guess to further encourage us to keep going and take it all the way.
Right.
I believe FAMU at one point did offer like the PharmD MBA 4-year program, but that's kind of gradually fizzing out. And I think now they're also offering a couple of things in like pharmaceutical sciences, whatever. But pharmacy, it's been a thing. It's been a thing for a minute. So for me, pharmacy has been, it's been a lifelong thing, I guess. Ever since I was a kid, half my family is cardiovascular, so like heart and blood issues. The other half suffers from like diabetes and complications from it. A lot of death, therefore. And so I've always been curious as to like just medications in general and how and why they work, and wanting to be that trusted medical professional for my family so they can come to me for medical advice. And so pharmacy and just being a pharmacist has been a dream of mine since the fourth grade. Oh, wow. Which is crazy, but it's been rewarding. I've never had a plan B except for that one time in high school when I wanted to be a neurologist for like 20 minutes. Never again. I just looked into how much schooling it went to. I was like, yeah, no. I love the brain. I still love the brain, mm-hmm. but not that much. I love drugs so much more. They're so cool. And so in that, went to high school, of course. You can't really see it right now. I mean, nobody can because it's all audible, but I'm tall. Like I'm 6'2".
No way.
I realized very early on, I don't like the sweat. Okay. So sports never been my thing. Modeling is not my ministry. So
it's okay. I wasn't going to ask you if you play basketball or not.
I did. You know what? I succumbed to life's pressures like 7th, 8th grade, and I wasn't bad until I went to high school and was like, yeah, no, I'd rather read a book. So that did that very quickly. But I only have like a high school diploma to my name again. And so just that the pervasive idea of just pushing through and pushing on, because it's one of those things that it's not easy. A lot of people, a lot of times, I won't say a lot of people, a lot of times, but people, you know, they would say, we would say 6 years, six figures at BNU because it is a 6-year program. And for those individuals that have, that were solely motivated by the financial, you know, take back of the profession, it's tough. Like, you have to really want this, because in those moments, as you know, in those moments where it gets really, really rough and, you know, like the going really gets going, you have to really know why you're doing this and be super unshakable. And so coming into FAMU, being in HBCU was great. Oh my gosh, loved it. Love it right now. Just Black excellence, just being in a space where I can see people that look like me, all succeeding, also successful. I personally am motivated by the success of others. I am excited by the success of others. And so just being in a space where I can be myself and I can be my professional self and my personal self at the same time. And having that development both ways. But, you know, life always does what it does. You know what I'm saying? Life is going to do what it does. It's been a crazy journey. I've lost a lot. I've lost a lot of people. You know, a lot of people coming in and out of my life. A lot of things have changed financially, physically, mentally, emotionally. All those good things. This spring of 2019 was a terrible year for me academically. And personally, and it set me back. But I'm here to tell you today that your journey is a marathon and not a race, right? And what's meant for you is meant for you. Everybody's going to go through their own personal battles and have their own trials and tribulations, but it's not about how you fall. It's about how you get back up, right? And I can't say I did it by myself. I've leaned heavily into my faith and, you know, had a really great support system of people to tell me you can do this or stop procrastinating. and so super thankful for that. I, again, only have a high school diploma to my name. It's a 6-year degree. It's a 6-year program. And so it's so crazy because, you know, in the 4th grade, that was like 15, 16 years ago. It was a dream. And now another year, it's going to be reality. And
so sometimes
it freaks me out, but it's like, wow, like, you know, all full circle here. So really excited for what is to come.
Oh, that's exciting. I mean, I have to say, folks like you scare me a little bit. Okay. And let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. Okay. to really know and understand what you want to be professionally and even really, in a sense, what your life calling is as a teenager, let alone even younger than that. Now, that's some real self-knowledge. Like I have to give it up to you. What I didn't even remember what I thought I wanted to be when I was a teenager. So that's real. That's real.
Well, of course, though, I reflect a lot. I do a lot of self-reflection. I do a lot of introspection. Like, I used to do a thing where, like, before I go to sleep, I just think about the day, think about my decisions, think about things I've said, things I didn't say, just to do, like, a self-check, and then go to sleep, wake up, hopefully a better person with a better day. So, nah.
That's wild. And that really is key for positive healthcare professional, because no job is easy, period.
When
you're essentially dealing with people's health and their potential mortality and things like that, that's some heavy stuff. So I'm very happy that you are very like in tune with your, you know, I gotta, This is how I do it. This is what I need to do. You are, just having met you recently, you're a very happy person. So I would be happy to have you as a pharmacist. You're going to be one happy pharmacist.
So close. Yes. I know. I am here to serve you, putting you on the path to better health, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, yes. And thank you for that. And so you went from high school straight into the program, right?
Yeah.
For that school, is that school known for that, FAMU? Is that not, they're known?
Yes. Yeah. Like,
okay.
Yeah. Financially as well. Like, so for people like myself, for instance, that had scholarships or just in general, like undergraduate tuition, it would carry over. So yes, the 4-year, it's a 6-year program. And you would think in those first 4 years, or I apologize, it's a 6-year program. And so you would think in those 4 years, you're paying grad fees, when in actuality, those first 2 years are still kind of undergrad. So it's the biggest bang for your buck, which like very much was the reason why I went. they gave me the most money, and it just made a lot of sense financially. I knew a couple of people that ran the program, and it's pretty famous, I guess that's the word. Like, it's pretty the program itself is very much known, especially in Florida. So
that's what's up. And so when you were going from high school to this program, were there any entrance exams that you had to take?
Nope. I just had to, your standard, like SAT, ACT, whatever you did as a high school student, send an application, do a couple of essays, fill out the forms. Yeah. That's
it. And then you didn't have to take any other, like, besides just taking classes and those, you have to take any, added exams or anything when you went from general classes to pharmacy specific classes?
No PCAT was required. That was back in my time. I think there's some talk about there potentially being one soon, but no PCAT. Wow. One of the fewer schools that does not require one. Like, so for instance, I do have a couple of classmates that did confer some sort of degree, like a bachelor's in chemistry, biology, that did take a PCAT because they're applying for other places. But for those in my cohort that came from high school, we kind of knew we were in, but every week, for instance, in our schedules is this thing called forum. Okay. And so that was us having to go into the pharmacy building. We have to dress professionally in the building at all times. We would go in. That's a great way for us to kind of interface with some of our future professors. We learn a lot of things, just learn small things about the program. Through that, I was able to meet and volunteer with some professors, which is pretty cool, and just get a general feel for, the program and the environment and the culture overall. So it personally came time for the interview. I've been in communication with the interviewer, for like 2 years. So it was just like, hey, all right, let's just get this in.
Right.
But yeah. No entrance exams, nothing like that.
Okay. And right now, how has the process been, just being in that 6-year program? The 2 years were general classes, like most people would take in college, I assume, like English, math, chemistry, right. Bible, things like that. And then you transition into pharmacy-specific classes. How was that transition for you?
So it was interesting. So at that time, so my first year in pharmacy school, I was still kind of involved in like a couple of things that I was doing on campus, like undergrad. I told myself like that would be my last year, so I can transition into more so like leadership and community service and just general volunteerism, like that is more so pharmacy specific. So going from your organic chemistry to therapeutics, that was like, wow. it kind of hit a couple of us because it's like the level of thinking, the amount of time, it's an adjustment for sure. I mean, I know a couple of us, that would memory dump it and get A's. You cannot do that in pharmacy.
Right.
Things that, of course, they build upon each other. And that first year is all foundational. And so if you're not really getting and grasping that, then when you start adding on drugs, start adding on therapy, start adding on counseling, things like that, it's all not going to make sense. I would say for me it wasn't too bad. It could have been a lot worse, and it could have definitely been a lot better, but I think after that first semester, after getting my feet wet and just finding a groove, then it got a little better, but I mean, it's still crazy.
You're like, it's still crazy. I'm just going through it.
Yes, yes, to this day. But it's all good. One day at a time out here.
Yeah. And when is your projected graduation date?
So I looked on the website like 2 days ago. I want to say I gotta just put it in my calendar, just put it out into the atmosphere. But it's late April, latest early May of 2022. So in a couple of months.
All right. And you will be done. Okay. Yes. So once you're done with your program next year, this time you'll definitely be done and we'll be partying. With no mask on.
Right. Hopefully. Oh my gosh.
Once you are done, do you take the I don't know what I forgot the name of your certification.
The nameplate. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you take that to be certified as a pharmacist, right?
Yes. Go ahead.
No, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the NAPLEX. So we take two exams. Mm-hmm. So the NAPLEX. So that just makes us a licensed pharmacist. Mm-hmm. No, I apologize. That basically tells us or tells people like we have our doctorate in pharmacy. Like we are pharmacists. Now to be licensed, so to actually be able to practice without going to jail, you have to take something called your MPJE. So that's the law exam. And the cool thing about law exam is, of course, we have 50 states. And I mean, at any point in time, I'm from Florida, sure, but I can move to Georgia. I can move to Wyoming. Mm-hmm. And every state has its own set of laws. Florida's and I think California's and New York's are the craziest. Everywhere else is pretty cool. Yeah. Right. And so you can take as many MPJEs as you want. I think I know one person who has like 8 under her belt, which is crazy. Okay. She moves around a lot, so it makes sense. But yeah, the NAPLEX is a one and done, but of course, you know, you continuously have to do some continuous educations like CEs, mm-hmm. just making sure that you're up to date and in the know of new things or just current practices and therapies, things like that.
Okay, so what was the second one?
MPJE. You know, I don't really know what it stands for
MPJE.
Yet.
Okay, we'll just go with that.
I should know, but I'm not there just yet.
It's all good. So that one is state specific then?
Yes, it is state specific. But I mean, it's one of those things, if I don't, like, I don't need it. Of course, for me, like if I wanted to practice as a pharmacist, as a licensed pharmacist, I need to take it. But mm-hmm. I know some people that have not. Some people just have that doctorate in pharmacy, but they're doing research, you know? Mm-hmm. So you're not necessarily at Walgreens or CVS or somebody's hospital or something, you know, dispensing meds. You just have that knowledge. And if you're going for your PhD. So it's one of those things that if you're trying to practice, like practice, definitely got to take it. If not, I need it.
So one is needed for you to be like, all right, I'm a PharmD, done and done. The right. second one then is for clinical pharmacists, essentially.
Really, if you're just trying to, like, that just means you are a registered pharmacist under the law. Like, hey, mm-hmm. my name is Dr. Chittimogwena, and I have the right to serve you mm-hmm. medication without going to jail.
Right.
Yeah. Not going to jail.
Right. It's like, don't go to jail. Please don't do it. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. And you guys have to, I'm guessing y'all have to renew that. Do you have to renew that?
That's a great question. Yes. 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 It's like another CE, another continued education.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because of course, you know, new laws pop up and some old laws fade away mm-hmm. with time. So mm-hmm. again, just the idea of being in the know and constantly knowing what's really going on. As to not go to jail.
Right. That's the goal.
Yeah.
Like, don't go to jail.
Don't go to jail.
Don't do it. Stay out here.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. And so are you personally planning on doing any residency or fellowship?
Yes. So I definitely want to do a PGY1 in general pharmacy practice somewhere. And after that, complete my PGY2, so that's second year, and ambulatory care.
Okay.
And so ideally, I guess after that, or whilst I'm doing the PGY2, of course, getting that board certification in ambulatory care pharmacy, but then also achieving my board certification in geriatric pharmacy at some point in time. I love the elderly population. Like, I love my silver superstars. In the Nigerian culture, Nigerian African, so you know, like the elderly population is so highly revered and respected, you know,
Right.
for their wisdom and just for being walking textbooks. And I love listening to their stories. And so just being able to do what I can to preserve their lives and advocate for them, because polypharmacy and just the idea of them having a lot of meds and not really have or people not really taking into consideration aging and how that can affect the body. And so just being there with that knowledge to stratify all those things and make sure that they are Gucci. On top of that, I personally didn't grow up with my grandparents. All of them passed away before I was born. So I guess this is my way of taking care of them vicariously through somebody else. So.
Well, that's kind. That's kind. And once you start working and everything like that, oh no, let me, sorry, different question. Right now, are you working while you're in school, and how is that
Yeah.
affecting your studies,
So
if at
currently
all?
transitioning, I was working at Gold Coast Regional Medical Center. So that's in Panama City. It's a hospital. I was a pharmacy intern there for a couple of months. Prior to that, I worked at CVS Pharmacy as an intern for about like 3 years, 2.5, 3 years.
Okay.
So it's definitely a balancing act, but it's so worth it. Just the idea of, you know, learning something in school and then seeing it in real life. There are a couple of things that, especially as you work in retail, for instance, that you see over and over and over and over, and it just sticks a little quicker and sticks a little better than for those who've never seen it the first time. So, if for anybody listening, if you are in pharmacy school, work, please work. Like, experience is everything. Like, experience is everything. Any type of experience is an experience. It's just the idea of putting it under your belt, so that if somebody got to ask you about it, you have something to talk about. And through that you learn a lot, especially in retail, a lot about interpersonal skills, being able to talk to people, looking at, again, you have access to over 300 drugs, and you have a pharmacist that you can pick their brains about, and you're also looking into, you know, time management and managing that, how to manage a team, how to workflow, all those things that you're getting, you know, when you clock in for those 4 to 8 hours or however long you work. So yes. Working at the hospital is so dope as well. I'm honestly blessed with the opportunity to say that I've worked in two different, you know, I've seen two different facets of pharmacy. And so right now back at home, applying for jobs, hopefully the people mess with me so that I can work. Because again, experience is everything. And through that, you get to meet people, learn about people, and make connections. And connections go a long way.
Yes, connections is everything in most fields.
Everything, man.
In
Exactly. Not
most
about what you know,
fields.
it's about who you know.
And currently, hold on, give me 1 second. I'll cut this out. But what was I gonna ask you? Oh, how is work-life balance? Like, are you still able to spend time with your family and all sort of things? Especially with working and school and so forth.
Yeah, so you know, I talked to someone about that, and he brought up a good point that it's never going to be balanced. And so it's more so about work-life integration and being intentional about it, because it is important to have that time for yourself, to yourself, and to pour back into yourself. And I always tell myself and others, you know, you cannot pour from an empty cup, and that's in all facets of your life, especially mentally. You've got to protect that space. And so doing things that you actually enjoy and being intentional about setting time throughout the day, if not week, for it is so important. But at the same time, the grind is real. And I'm a night owl, and I'm trying to do better about sleep and stuff. But sometimes, you know, when the due dates are coming and things are pressing, you got a million things you got to do going on, and you got to work this week, you're going to have to, you know, make those sacrifices and just reward yourself accordingly. And so for me, it's something I'm still, it's an ever present, like, learning experience for me. Like just the idea of self-care, for instance, it's pretty new. I want to say like a year or two old. And so having, just being better at like making it more so routine and not like as needed or every now and again type thing. But it is important. I can't tell you how to do it because I'd be a hypocrite, but find a way, something you like. For me, for instance, I mean, I love food. I think food is an experience. It's the cheapest way to travel. You can have Greek in the morning, you can have Mexican in the afternoon, and you can end up with some ice cream from Italy, you know, or wherever, some gelato in the evening. And so just food is great. Sometimes just putting on a nice candle, get some music on. I used to have this thing called like a self-care Saturday, do a nice little, you know, mud mask or something. Just make yourself feel good, you know? I've recently started like, I have like plant children. I have a mint plant named T, and I have a lemongrass plant named Zesty. Oh my gosh, I love them. I'm trying to be, I was like, please start me off low maintenance because I'm gonna work my way up to like a turtle, and then we're gonna go from there. Yes, I'm so excited. But yeah, so that's super important. You know, if you're, I mean, of course, you know, the pandemic's the pandemic, but the one thing I did miss was just being around people. Like, I love people. I love the energy. I love learning from others. And so, you know, be intentional about hanging out with that friend or two, or, you know, having that brunch date, lunch date, make it a monthly thing if need be, because it's important. It's important. You gotta pour it back into yourself. So however you do it, however you fix it, fix it.
Yes, that's great advice. And especially with everything happening, it can be so lost in your own shenanigans, and
yeah,
and you look up and you're like, oh shoot, there's been X, Y, Z all the way to M happening, and I've just missed it because my head is all the way down here in my
arm. Right, exactly. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. It's so easy to do. But while I was talking to you off our recording, you did mention you had a grant recently. Can you tell us more about what that project is on?
Yeah, sure. So it was 2019. I was given the opportunity to attend this conference. It was hosted by FTE, so the Forum of Theological Experience, that I had the connection with through an organization that I presided over while it's an undergrad. Called Impact. It's more than just a Bible study group. We did a lot. Oh my goodness, we did a lot. We've done a lot. We've grown a lot. So much so that I was then granted another opportunity to design a national conference, which was pretty dope, but that's a totally separate thing. So it was myself and two others that went. We were the only two people from Florida. And through there, I think it was like 70 of us total from all over the place. The idea was to kind of learn more about like ministry, but I personally felt like a super oddball because I'm the pharmacy student. And so myself and another individual who is an activist and really into farming and just being an advocate for those farmers out there, we kind of just were talking and we were just like, yo, health is wealth. And, you know, my perspective, I'm thinking, of course, your fruits, your veggies, and just the overall things that we eat culturally that may not be the best because of XYZ, you know, carbs or proteins and lack thereof. And for him, as a as an environmentalist, the idea of, again, health is wealth because you are what you eat. And farmers, they make these great things that lack the pesticides and lack the GMOs. And so being able to pour into ourselves those things as opposed to whatever goes on or whatever your larger companies would push out, or, you know, whatever is in a can or something. And so with that, the organization that put together the conference had a grant out. And so we decided to apply and we both got it. And so we put our money together. And the initial idea was for us to go to Baltimore, Maryland, to be and see Dr. Heber Brown. And so he's a pastor, and what he does, which is super dope, he uses his church to host Black farmers to mm-hmm. then create like a farmers market like within his community. Just the idea of like the, you know, the community pouring into themselves, kind of breaking that capitalistic gyre that mm-hmm. your larger companies, your Walmarts, your sometimes even your Publixes would have, or Kroger's would have. Okay. And so we wanted to, the idea was for us to kind of go in there, learn the blueprint, learn from him, and find a space in California, because my partner is from California. Find a space in California that kind of meets the same criteria and just building that there. But then COVID. So because of COVID, oh my gosh, we had to revise our project probably like 3 times, just trying to think of how to do it virtually. And it was crazy. Then it got to a point where it was like, hey, I mean, he was just like, you just come to California and kind of just, you know, gain some exposure to the farming practices here. And looking into the politics and the legislature around it, I was like, yeah, let's do it. I'm dope. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. And so I headed out there and it was super dope. I was in Southern California in Camarillo. I mean, I went to LA, of course, had to be touristy, you know what I'm saying? But I learned so much. I think my outlook on food has changed, and I just developed an even greater appreciation for what Mother Earth has been giving us, because she's been given. Okay. And so just doing what I can to just pour back into her further appreciate the fruits that she gives us, literally the fruits that she gives us. And so with that, zesty and mint, or well, zesty and tea, my mint point. So it's been pretty dope. My partner and I definitely connected, and again, just further understood how both of our worlds, you know, the medical and the environmental worlds just interlock a lot, and just build off ideas. And oh my gosh, it was great. It was really invigorating. I honestly needed it. Honestly, it was a great like kickstart to what I want to do with my life, which is one of my like long-term goals is to, after graduation, maybe after a couple of years, head to Nigeria yearly and do like health clinics and really examine the food, you know, that we have there. And looking, of course, into the breakdown of it, and just doing a lot of like patient education with regards to it, because too much and too little of everything is not good. And sometimes if you just cut down things gradually, you won't be at a greater risk of your hypertension. You won't be at a greater risk of your diabetes, things like that. You know, being able to educate on just small ways to even exercise at home, different things that can be done there. And it's not like, of course, in Nigeria, it's not like there isn't resources. They're just not accessible, super sparse. They're miles and miles away. And so if I can do what I can to educate others, just small things to keep in mind, I can only imagine what big things can be avoided in the long run. So.
Wow. Thank you for explaining all that for us. I really appreciate it, hearing about that. That's a unique combination of farmers and pharmacists. And I'm excited to see what you guys do with this union, especially as it pertains to food and preventative medicine, especially going back home and things like that. So I knew I was going to keep up with you, but now I know for sure I'm going to keep up with you.
Come on down. The water is fine. Yeah, I'm so excited.
Now I know. Like, when I'm in Florida now, I'm gonna be like, "Yo, I gotta go see my girl. How she doing?"
Yes, girl.
The glass of food, you know.
yes. So much to see. It was just so crazy. Like in Cali, I was like, "Wow, it's real rocks out here." I said that a good 5,000 times. Like every 2 minutes, I'm like, "Oh my god, there are mountains everywhere, y'all. This is I'm so used to this level."
Oh yeah, man. You guys are so flat out there in Florida, and you know, essentially yes, on the ground.
It gets below the ground.
Yeah.
It's the mountains really, and the beaches are my favorite part of the States. And you add the sunshine to that, and I am sold. I am
Yeah, those
sold.
are beautiful. Definitely.
But my last question for you before I let you go is, do you have any advice for our aspiring pharmacists, especially
Yes,
the
of course. But if you are in the fourth grade, girl, turn around and really think about this. No, I'm kidding. Oh man, I would say know yourself, right? You really like knowing your oh knowing your why is so important. Knowing your why, like I have a couple of whys, and those whys keep me going. And if your why doesn't convict you enough to read that chapter you hate, or to go to work and come back, your tenure is going to be very short. Stay organized. Organization is everything. And know yourself enough to tell yourself that you need help. That's something I personally struggle with. I'm the type of person where it was like, if I had a question, I'm going to look it up, look it up, look it up, look it up, look it up until I am able to figure it out. And sometimes what I didn't realize was that I had no clue what to even look at, but somebody does, and it's beyond school. It's about yourself. It's about life in general. It's okay to not be okay. Just know that it will get better. And being positive is so important. Being around positive people is even more important, right? If not, be a light for others because you will need that. In pharmacy, no matter what field you're coming to, people are going to come to you at their worst. Somebody is going to come to you upset because they just found that they had diabetes and they don't know what to do, or scared because their dad just died of it, or they had a cousin who had to cut off his leg because peripheral neuropathy, like it happens. And sometimes some people take it to heart, but I can never, I want to do what I can to put a smile on somebody's face and to comfort them and make sure they're okay and ensure that they know that I'm there to take care of them. And so if you keep that mindset in everything you do, like greatness will come. Goodness will come. I can't tell you how blessed I am with the opportunities I've had, the people I've met, the rooms I've been in, the tables I've sat in or at. But it comes with just being a light in every way. So do that. Do that for yourself and do that for your community. And always remember to give back because give back and give praise if you believe, Because if it was me personally, I know I could not have done this by myself. Could not have done this by myself. So.
All right. Y'all heard her. Thank you again. I really appreciate it. And as you guys hear, did you whoever's listening to this, you may catch it anytime, but we literally are catch we're recording this on both our bedtimes. And that's so I really appreciate you taking the time and pushing through and still thinking about joining me even despite your crazy schedule and your busyness. But I
No,
really have appreciated having you here. Having your positive energy really has been much needed for a Sunday evening, nonetheless.
yes. I mean, I again, I am it's an absolute pleasure again to be on this platform, your platform. It's something that I'm pretty sure is very personal to you. And so, I mean, thank you. Oh my gosh. Like, again, this was so dope. Let me know when you have another one. Honestly,
I
it's
definitely
2022.
will.
I'm trying to have multiple streams of income. And so, if you are a music producer, a TV show, producer, please let your girl know it's about time I give you a legit side hustle. So.
Know what? You'll be the first person I think of if I need any help with this, especially if it's gonna be, giving us a little bit of some on the side, okay?
Yes, please and thank you. Good. My goodness.
All right. You have a beautiful night. I like I say, I've appreciated seeing you and having you here. Enjoy your week. May you be blessed and have a much productive and lovely week.
Amen. Thank you so much. You are so sweet. Oh my God. Best of luck again to you with everything and all of your endeavors. You're going to be bomb. I'm so excited for you to come out on the other side and serve the people well because I know you would.
Thank you. Thank you. So I'm gonna stop recording this.
All right. That's all I have for you today. Thank you again for joining me. I appreciate you. Please subscribe, follow, like, comment, and share. And stay blessed. Bye.